We're going to open our Bibles again at Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and I want to focus especially on verses 18 through 22. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. And the question I want to ask from this portion is, what is the most important thing to you, the old or the new? So let us read these few verses to begin with. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. Let us now hear the word of God. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, that is Jesus, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridechamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. And may it please the Lord to bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, in the previous few verses of this second chapter of Mark's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ taught his hearers two very important lessons. The first lesson about his ministry was that he came to call sinners, not the righteous, to repentance. And if you look down there at verse 17, you will see this teaching. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician or the doctor, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So this was the first lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ taught his hearers about his ministry. He came to call sinners, not the righteous, to repentance. The second lesson that he taught them was that he came to bring gladness, not sadness. Notice what he says there in verse 19. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridechamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? And of course, Christ is the bridegroom, and his disciples are the friends of the children of the bridegroom. And he was saying that people who attend a wedding do not give themselves to fasting, but when they come to the wedding, it's a time of celebration, a time of joy. And now that the disciples had Christ with them, it was a time for rejoicing, a time of gladness, and it was a time for them to be rejoicing in him and his person and his grace and goodness shown to them. The third lesson that he now teaches those who were in attendance is that he came to introduce the new, not to patch up the old. And that is exactly what verses 21 and 22 are all about. He came to introduce something new, but the Pharisees insisted that the old was better. The same is true today, for some still say that the old is better. Now let me ask you the question, child of God. Is the old life that you lived really better than the life that you're living in Christ right now? Now, to illustrate the spiritual truth that the new is better than the old, Jesus told a parable. And that's what we have before us in verses 21 and 22. It is a parable. Now, no one ever had such a gift as Jesus for the discovery and the use of simple and common illustrations. He was able to take the common illustration from all around him, and he was able to apply spiritual truth even from that particular common thing. He talked about lost sheep and lost silver. Those were things that the common people could identify with. And he was able to take those simple things, and from those simple things he was able to teach the people spiritual truth. Over and over again, he found in the simple things pathways and pointers to God. Now, many, many years ago, on a Saturday afternoon, a man used to go for long walks with one of the most famous Scottish preachers. And during those walks, they used to have very long conversations and talks. And of these talks, the man who went along with the famous preacher, he said, wherever the conversation started, he had, that is the preacher, a way of cutting straight across country to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ had that same ability. For whatever he was talking about, he was able to turn what he was talking about right around to be a pointer to God and to point men to his Heavenly Father and the way of salvation. And that's what we find him doing here in these few verses before us. And for a short time, we want to have a look at the subject before us today, the old or the new. And I have three very simple things that I want to share with you or leave with you this morning. First of all, there is the difference that is emphasized. I suppose you've picked up on this already during the Bible reading, the difference that is emphasized. Notice the repeated words used here, the word old and then the word new. The Lord Jesus talks about new cloth and old garments. He talks about old bottles and new bottles. So the difference that has been emphasized here in these few verses is the difference between something that is old and something that is new. In fact, if you look at it carefully, you will discover that that word new is used 6 times, if I've got my arithmetic right, and the word old is used 3 times. So Mark was emphasizing something that was different. Now we need to determine what the old and what the new represent. The old is something that was preferred by the Pharisees. Now we don't have to think too much about that to discover what it was. The thing that they loved was their religion, and their religion was Judaism. They loved it with all of its rituals, with all of its vestments, with all of the great ceremonies, and of course they loved it because of the magnificent temple. You know, there's many people who are in the Roman Catholic Church and they just love the whole ceremony. They love the great cathedrals with their stained glass windows. They love the vestments and the ceremony and all of that kind of thing. And then, of course, you have many other religions and they have similar kinds of things. And people get ensnared and taken up with the surroundings, with the ritual and so on. But unfortunately, Christ is not found there. Christ is only found in Christianity. He's only found in the gospel. He's only found where God the Father is magnified and glorified. And that is a wonderful thing for us to be here gathered in this humble dwelling place this day, in a very simple ceremony, with no stained glass windows, no vestments. We just have the Word of God open before us. We have access to God through prayer. And we've gathered here for the simple preaching of the Word of the living God. So the old was something preferred by the Pharisees. It was their religion. It was their ritual and everything else. But the new is the gospel. The new is God's way of dealing with men in the new covenant era. One of the first messages the Lord Jesus Christ ever preached, recorded in John's Gospel chapter 3, was to a man called Nicodemus. And he was a very religious man, steeped in religion. He knew all of the prayers, he knew all of the laws. He was a good man by and large, but he was not converted. And it so happens that he was a Pharisee. Now, what was the message Jesus brought to that man? It's a message that Jesus, through his servants, would need to bring to many congregations today. Because in many congregations, you'll find them filled with good, loving people, religious people, good people by and large. But they need to hear the message Jesus preached to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that doctrine is what theologians call the new birth. So the Lord Jesus Christ was insisting that this religious man, this religious Pharisee, experienced something that was new. He needed something that was new. He needed to have a new birth. So he was exposing the religion of the Pharisees. He was showing that Nicodemus needed something more than ritual. He needed something that was new. something that only the Lord Jesus Christ could give. And this stands in contrast to the old birth and the first birth. There's a difference there. The first birth is physical. The second birth, the new birth, is spiritual. The first or the natural birth brings me into the family of Adam. I am a ruined sinner. The second or the spiritual birth brings me into the family of God. I am a redeemed sinner. My destination is no longer hell. My destination now is heaven. And when you come to Luke chapter 16, Jesus delivered a very powerful parable. But I do believe it was more than a parable. It was a story, because I do believe that Jesus had in mind a certain individual, because there was a certain man. And that indicates to me that Christ had someone in mind when he addressed the people on that occasion. And he spoke there in a very graphic fashion about hell. And in the light of that, hell is not a place that you'd want to go to. Hell isn't a place you'd ever want to end up in. And if you're here out of Christ, my appeal to you this day is, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Get under the blood. Get right with God. Are you praying now, child of God, that God will take his word and apply it not only to men and women here, but to loved ones that you have been praying for, loved ones who are not under the means of grace? Even now, pray, O God, break into my loved one's heart and bring that loved one to faith in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus also talked in John chapter 14 about heaven. There's a balance, you see. And there's some preachers, all they ever want to do is talking about heaven. And that's a tremendous theme to preach on and talk about. And that's the kind of message that appeals to everybody. But unfortunately, so few preachers nowadays ever get round to preaching a message from Luke chapter 16 about hell. Well, there's the balance. And we have Christ, who is our example in all things. And while he talked about heaven, he also talked about hell. In fact, he spoke more times about hell than he did about heaven. And I think that we've got to make sure that in our preaching we have a good balance, a good healthy balance, and that men and women know the consequences of dying out of Christ, dying in their sin. They will be lost to a Christless eternity. So when you study the Old Testament and the New Testament, you will discover there's a difference that is emphasized. There's a difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, between Judaism and Christianity. So the new piece of cloth is what we call Christianity. The old garment was Judaism, with its feasts and its ceremonies and its fasts and rules and regulations and sacrifices and ceremonies. And there are some people still involved in this kind of thing. And they're ignorant of the fact that Christ said on the cross, it is finished. What's finished? All the ceremonies, all the ritual, all the traditions, they served their purpose in the Old Testament times, and they pointed to Christ. But when he came, he fulfilled those things. And in fulfilling them, he abolished those things. And he's brought in a new and living way. He's the one who said, I am the way. So he was saying that the old is now abolished, and that he has brought in a new approach to God through his work on the cross. And what the Pharisees and the Jews had to realize was that with the advent of Christ, he had changed everything. When he comes, he changes everything. When he comes into a man or woman's life, he changes everything. He makes all things new. And many people endure religion, the religion that they have. Like the Pharisees. The Pharisees went about as sad as possible, giving everybody the impression, oh, the burden of my religion. It makes me sorrowful. It prevents me from enjoying my life. And that's the way they went about, and they fasted so many times a week and so many times a year, and they painted their faces, they wore sackcloth and ashes and everything else, and they appeared before men as joyless as possible, as sad as possible. Well, when a man experiences a new birth, everything changes. The old frown disappears and the countenance is radiant with the joy of the Lord. The burden has rolled away. A man can walk now in liberty and freedom in Christ to enjoy what God hath provided in the gospel, to enjoy reading the Bible, to enjoy coming to church, to enjoy being found in a prayer meeting, to enjoy witnessing for the glory of God. That's what Christianity does. It brings joy, it brings light and liberty. It sets a man or woman free. Religion brings people into bondage, but Christ sets men free. There's hope in the gospel. There's liberty in the gospel. Not liberty to do as I want to do. Liberty to do what Christ ordained for me to do as a child of God. That's the liberty I have. to comply with his mind and his will. They failed to realize that by the advent of Christ, everything changed. He came to bring something new. He came to bring something different. He had not come to patch up Judaism, which had already served its purpose. It had now outlived its usefulness. It served its purpose well. You have all of the different types and the feasts and the sacrifices, wonderful types. That was the picture book, as it were. That was God's way to make things simple and clear for that generation, preparing them for the coming of Christ. But the truth is, he has come. He has abolished then what had been used prior to that to prepare the people for the coming of Christ. He has fulfilled those things, and he has procured for men a full and free salvation. You see, the sacrifice of a goat or an oxen in the Old Testament could never remove sin. It covered sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, removes sin. That's the difference, you see. It was a pointer to Christ, but when he came, you see, he has removed our sins. He's taken them out of the way. The slate is clean. The condemnation's gone. Hallelujah. We have nothing to give an account for as far as the old life is concerned. Every child of God will give an account to God of service rendered since their conversion to Christ. But the old past is gone because Christ has removed the condemnation. And all your sins and my sins are gone, child of God. All of our iniquities, past, present, and future, they're all gone. Hallelujah. They're under the blood. They're all atoned for. I will never give an account for those sins because Christ suffered hell for me to provide pardon for all my sins and to fit me for the presence of God. And that's what I have. That's what I'm resting in. I'm not resting in religion. I'm not resting in my contribution. I'm not resting in what I think I am or how good I've been. I'm depending upon the grace and the mercy and the righteousness of another, and I find acceptance with him because I've got something new. And Christ's sacrifice was the last great sacrifice that was offered for sin, and it never needs to be repeated. That would be going back to the old way. But thank God Christ came to bring to an end the old way. And when we get to heaven, we're going to sing something. It's going to be a new song. It's a song of the soul set free. And what are they singing about? They're singing about the Lamb. They're singing about the blood of the Lamb. They're singing about redemption. They're singing about their sins have been forgiven. That's what we're going to sing about in heaven, a new song, the song of the soul set free. So his sacrifice was the last sacrifice, and it was the last sacrifice because it was sufficient to make an atonement for the sins of all of his people, given to him in the eternal covenant of redemption. Thus all begins now with a new birth, or with a new man. We have new life in Christ. The Spirit of God could not and cannot be poured into an old life. He would tear it to pieces, in a sense. The Lord did not come to improve our old nature. Our old nature can't be improved. He came to provide us with a new nature capable of handling the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Child of God, we have two natures within us, the old nature, the old corrupt nature. We sin in the old nature. We don't sin in the new nature. It's born of God. That's why we have struggles in life when we do wrong. Then the Spirit of God comes and convicts us. When we yield to the old nature, the Spirit of God lets us know that we have done that. And that's why many times we're miserable. Until we submit ourselves unto the leading of God by the Spirit of God. We're born of God. He's given us new desires. Longings for Christ. Longings to be pure and holy and spotless, to be righteous practically as we serve God in this day in which we live. He came to provide us with a new nature capable of handling the indwelling of the Spirit of God. No wonder a new birth brings about a new man. And that's what man needed, a new birth. All things are made new, just the way the new bottles were prepared for new wine. So by the new piece of cloth and the new wine, Christ refers to the gospel and all of the benefits of the gospel. And by that new garment and that new wine, he meant hearts prepared for the gospel and adorned with the gospel of God's grace. So there is the difference that is emphasized, the difference between the old and the new. But then in the second place, there's the danger that is evident. Well, what is the danger that is evident here? Well, look at the text again. Look what it says there in verse 21. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else, listen to it, the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. You look at the next verse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put into new bottles. So here's the danger that is evident. No man soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles. So really Jesus is saying here that there are certain things that don't mix. He's saying you can't mix things that are essentially different. You can't mix oil and water. These things don't mix, you see. So Jesus is really saying there's some things that don't really mix. And he's saying here, you can't mix the old with the new. Now first he spoke about patched cloth. No man soweth a piece of new or undressed or unshrunk cloth on an old garment, verse 21. He's saying that a piece of new cloth is not used to patch up an old garment, because the strong fibers on the new piece will pull on the weakened fibers of the old, and the original rent is made worse. That's what he says here. Now, if you were to take an old sail, for example, and patch one of its small holes with a new piece of sail cloth, as soon as it becomes wet and dries, you will have a bigger hole made. The new fabric which Christ brings, Christianity, cannot be interwoven with the old tired fibers of the old religion, Judaism, because it will tear it apart. It will prove disastrous. So here's the danger that is evident here. You can't mix the two. You can't mix the old with the new. So he's saying here that Judaism and Christianity do not mix. Ritual and New Testament redemption don't mix. Now many people try to patch up their lives. They become conscious of their shortcomings and their weaknesses and their failures in their lives, and they try to cover over these holes with patches of good works and religious duties. It's vain to do this. That's what Jesus is really saying. It's vain to do this. Some people talk about turning over a new leaf. Some people become religious. The world is full of religions, but there's only one that can really satisfy the aching soul. That's faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Efforts to reform the life will only make matters worse, for by the deeds of the law, no man is justified. Sinners need regeneration, not reformation. It's not enough through religion, but through righteousness. It's not through fasting, but it's through faith. Sinners need to be made new in Christ. Now, you have an old car. You have 400,000 miles on it. You leave it into a shop, and there are some men who are excellent at restoring old cars and so on. They can buff it up, and they can give it a spray job. They can put on new rims and new tires and give it a good detailed job, and within a period of time it can be set out there, maybe in the village some Saturday night there, and the people can buy and say, isn't that an amazing car? And you can fix up the outside and give the appearance, this is a great car. But the people don't realize that the old engine inside is just ready to explode. It's tired out, and you move the car up the street and you can see the oil from all the leaks in the vehicle. So it looks good on the outside, and the old engine is ready to blow up and explode. That's the old, you see. It needs a new engine. It's something on the inside that needs to be changed. And people can reform their lives. They can become religious. They can start doing good things and performing good deeds. But that doesn't make one bit of a difference before God. It may look good. It may draw the applause of men. But what a man needs, it's not that external decoration. It's something that's inside, something that is internal, a new heart, a new life, a new engine, changed by grace. And then when the heart has been changed by grace and the life has been changed, then it will manifest itself on the outside. The outer life will be cleaned up, and then there will be harmony between the new on the inside and the new on the outside. The new cloth of grace has not been given to patch up the old garment of works. When the prodigal son came home, he did not get the ragged coat that he was wearing repaired. I'm sure it was filthy. And the father says, get rid of that old filthy garment. And what did the father do? He put on him a new garment. He said, bring the best robe. in Cana of Galilee, where Christ performed the first miracle. People were talking about the new wine. It was better. You've kept the good wine till now. It was the best, you see. And the prodigal son, he came home and he received the best robe. When we returned from our wandering, we were clothed with the perfect robe of the righteousness of Christ, the best robe possible. The new garment is the gospel, and the gospel cannot be used to patch up the old way. It's something radically new, something that is wrought from within by the power of the Spirit of God, making us new in Christ. And then Christ spoke of bottles of new wine. And when you think of the word bottle here, do not think in terms of our bottles. These were wineskins. So we're talking here about wineskins. And I think bottles are mentioned four times in these verses. Now, in the ancient culture of the day, the skins of goats were stripped off as whole as possible. And they were partly tanned so they could be filled with new wine. That's the bottles we're talking about here. So their natural expansion and strength would allow the fermenting wine to expand. So as new wine matured, it increased in volume. And that's the reason why it had to be put into new wineskins, because they would expand as wine fermented. However, if the new wine was put into old bottles, the old leather would crack under the pressure, and both the wine and the wine bottles would be lost. So you don't put unfermented wine in old wineskins because they would burst. That's the danger that is evident here. You can't mix the old with the new. That's the whole point. I'm emphasizing this. To put new unfermented wine in old brittle wineskins would be disastrous. It would be pointless. As soon as the wine would begin to ferment and the gases formed, the old skins would burst. And one would lose both the wine and the skins. That would be costly. It's only the regenerated heart, the new heart, which can contain the new wine of salvation. It's foolishness to think that salvation can reside in an old, depraved heart. It's another impossibility. It doesn't work, you see. Men who would not be so foolish as to put new wine into an old, hardened bottle are nevertheless foolish enough to believe that they can possess salvation without receiving a new heart and regeneration. Regeneration is the work of the Spirit. It's indispensable. It's the Lord giving to His people new life. Have you received this new life? God pours His salvation into new vessels, into new hearts, transformed by the Spirit of God. This is doctrinal truth. That's why Jesus said to that religious man, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus talked to him about the work of the Spirit, and then he said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. He talked about the need of a new birth. And because the man experienced a new birth, then he was able to believe the gospel. And that is the order there in John chapter 3. The new wine speaks of joy in the Spirit, possessed by those who have received this new life in Christ. The believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, full of the wine of God's salvation in Christ. All things are new. So you have the difference that is emphasized, the difference between the old and the new. Then you have the danger that is evident. You can't mix the two, you see. And then finally, there is the direction that is explicit. What do I mean by that? Well, look at the end of verse 22. But new wine must be put into new bottles. The divine must is used here. The direction is plain. It's explicit. It's clear. Patching an old garment, and we're emphasizing this again, patching an old garment will not be any use. The law of grace is that new wine must be put into new bottles. The direction that is explicit. The new wine of the gospel needs the new heart as a vessel. Have you been made a new vessel? Is the wine of God's salvation in your heart and in your life? Have you the witness of the Spirit of God within you that you're born of God, that you belong to Him? Are you enjoying living for Christ? Are you enjoying communion and fellowship with God? Is what you have real? Is it old or new? Is it your old good works or something new given to you by the Spirit? Are you trying to find favor with God, being a better person, being a better man, being a better woman, doing what you think is right to gain you entrance into heaven? I'm telling you how you can get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the door. There's no other way. So forget about your goodness. Forget about the things that you think you can do to merit salvation. Humble yourself in the sight of God and realize that you're a vile, guilty, ill-deserving sinner who deserves nothing but hell, but you can obtain eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's the answer. That's the solution. That's the way. That's your only hope. And get real about these things. You're wasting time. Coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And besides that, you could be dead before the day's over, and you could be in hell before you hear another gospel message, damned to eternity. And this direction is ever so clear. You need something new. We need to be made new creatures in Christ. Men are made new creatures through the new birth to live a new life as they travel through this world to a new destination. Salvation is not a partial patching up of one's life. Some people can come to church and they hear a message that touches the heart, and they make many promises and vows, and they try to clean up the life, and it only lasts for about a week or 2 weeks. And that's it, they forget about it. They never go on, you see. And that is proof that it's never been real to begin with. And they're trying to patch up their old lives with good works or turning over a new leaf, whatever. Salvation is putting on a whole new garment. It's getting a new wardrobe, if you like. He gives to us the robe of the perfect righteousness of Christ. And salvation is like putting on this garment, according to what the prophet Isaiah tells us. You put on this garment, you're putting on Christ. It's your guarantee of glory. It's your passport to heaven. It's the way into life eternal, putting on Christ. Christian life is not mixing the old and the new, rather, it's all new. So during the supper in Levi's house, the new ideas were being challenged by the old traditions. The attitude, the action, the message of Christ, all of these things were at variance with all that the Pharisees taught and invited criticism. They became very angry and irritated when Christ began to preach. The new orders were in open opposition to the old traditions. War had been declared, if you like, and already the critics were showing signs of strain. And if this continued, there would be an explosion. The new order would be contained within a new skin, and the new life would be expressed within a new movement, the church. The church would replace the synagogue and the divine pattern of things to come. So you have in the Old Testament a family meeting around a common altar. And then you have the movement towards the tabernacle, the organized sacrifices. And the Lord is paving the way for the coming of His Son. So it begins with individuals. Then it extends to the family. Then it moves to the nation. And when Christ went to the cross, His work has affected the whole world. Not just Jews. Gentiles. And the whole world consists of Jews and Gentiles. Salvation is not just for Jews, it's for a whole world of sinners. And in these final illustrations, Jesus not only emphasized that fasting was inappropriate for His disciples because He was there with them. It was a joyous occasion for them. But that the way of the Pharisees with their legalism and their man-made traditions and the way of the gospel cannot be harmonized. They were mutually incompatible. The new mixed with the old would ruin both. And there are so many people trying to mix them. The new wine of the gospel could not be poured into the old Jewish system. It had to be poured into new men and women. And His teaching on grace and forgiveness of sins destroys the old cloth of the Pharisees. It bursts open the old wine skins of their religion. Praise be the name of the Lord. There's something dramatic here. There's the dynamite of the gospel. It blows the old asunder like dynamite. And it opens up a whole new way of approach to God through the atoning sacrifice of Christ. By contrast to the traditions of the Pharisees, Jesus preached about grace, unmerited favor, free forgiveness. And His gospel began with God, and the salvation He preached depended entirely on God. And He underlined the difference between this and the teaching of the Pharisees. Now they had to choose. Time has come for you to choose. I'm going to continue on with the old life, or I'm going to begin a new life in Christ. Continue on as before, you'll perish. Begin afresh with Christ, you'll live eternally. The choice remains today, the old or the new. In John chapter 2, the new wine was better according to those who drank it. And I'm telling you from experience, that the new is better than the old. The new life is better than the old life. The old life of guilt, the old life of shame, the old life of condemnation that was always dragging us down closer to a Christless eternity. And thank God, through grace, he lifts us up to God and he makes a way through our difficulties. It doesn't mean that we'll never have our problems, but it does mean that he gives us grace to deal with our problems. Jesus is really saying, the old must go, and I have come to bring a new way. I close with this illustration. A London businessman who happened to be a preacher told the story of a warehouse property that he was going to sell. The building had been empty for quite a number of months and needed repairs. Vandals had damaged the door, smashed the windows. You know the way these things happen if a place is vacant for a number of months. And trash was thrown all over the interior of the building. Now, as he showed a prospective buyer around the property, he took pains to say that he would replace the broken windows, he would repair the doors, and he would make sure that all the garbage was removed and cleaned away. "Forget about the repairs," the buyer said. "When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building, I want the site. Compared with the renovations God has in mind, our efforts to improve our own lives are just as trivial as sweeping the warehouse slated for the wrecking ball." When we come to God through faith in Christ, when we're drawn by the power of the Spirit to Christ, to trust in him, he makes all things new. All he wants is the site, and he will develop that site according to his divine purpose and plan. You don't need to worry about that. That's in the hands of God. He wants the site. He wants you. And I can tell you, the Lord can radically change your life. I never thought I would ever be a preacher. Well, I might not be much of a preacher, but God called me to preach anyway. I never thought I would be able to do that. I never thought I could stand before people. But the Lord purchased the site, and I left it up to him to develop the site. And there's no telling where it might end, because the end is not yet, and the best is still to be. So what about it? The old or the new? What do you want? You want the old or do you want the new? The old life, the old lifestyle, the old condemnation, or the new life in Christ, and the new destination, and the new hope? What is it you want? I can't do any more. I can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. But I told you all you need to know to repent of your sin, to believe the gospel, to come to Christ, believe in him, trust in him, step out in the promise of God, get under the blood, be ready for heaven and home. That will not make you perfect. Nobody's perfect on this earth. We'll only be perfect when we see him. But we're not what we used to be, and we're seeking to strive to be like him with the enabling of his Holy Spirit. So, what's it going to be? The old, you're going to stand with the Pharisees, a disagreeable crowd, or you're going to stand with the people of God. We're all different. We're not all that we should be at times, but I would rather be here with the people of God and standing over here with a crowd of these old hypocrites who have nothing, no Jesus, no life, no Christ, making you feel miserable, depressing you. I would rather be over here with the people of God. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So what is it? What's it going to be now? The old or the new? May God give you the grace to do the right thing. And the right thing is to choose the right way. And the right way is the new way. And I want to tell you, 100 years from now it will make the difference. 10,000 years from now it will make the difference. For as long as God is and God is eternal, it will make the difference. Never going out of existence. Always perishing, damned and lost forever, or enjoying the bliss of heaven with Christ forever and ever. What's it going to be? The old or the new? Let's bow for prayer.